I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. It's good to have you along with us this Monday. Gas prices here in the U.S. have been dropping for the past few months. Great news, but don't get too comfortable.
It's entirely possible that we could see oil prices and therefore gasoline prices rising before the end of this year, and a lot does depend on the OPEC meeting that's coming up on December 6th.
Oil expert Ellen Wald. In a minute, she'll explain how politics affect prices at the pump. First, though, did you notice she mentioned OPEC, the oil cartel, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries? Most Americans, including myself, haven't paid much attention to OPEC lately. Back in the 1970s, though, we were paying attention.
Good evening. The Middle East war produced developments all over the world today. The oil-producing countries of the Arab world decided to use their oil as a political weapon.
You remember? I do. Riding my bike to school and not without a little smugness seeing all the cars lining up around the block waiting forever in line to buy gas. So will the long lines happen again? Ellen Wald says it depends what happens to OPEC.
OPEC would like you to think of it as a cartel, but it's not always a very effective cartel. And there are some times when it has been very effective. And one of those times was in 1973, when OPEC really controlled the vast majority or a very significant amount of oil production in the world and was able to manipulate that oil production in order to raise prices.
As far as membership in OPEC, I mean, we tend to think of Mideast oil nations as the members, but there are other countries part of it as well, right?
The reason that we think of OPEC as mainly made up of Middle Eastern players is because most of the founding members of OPEC were from the Middle East. OPEC was actually founded in September 1960, but it really didn't have any major effect until the 1970s. And the founding members of OPEC were Iran, Iraq, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and Venezuela. But then later, these countries were joined by a whole host of other countries as more oil was discovered in other places. So in 1961, we got Qatar, then Indonesia, Libya, the UAE, Algeria. Then in the 1970s, we got Nigeria, Ecuador, Gabon, and more recently, in 2007, Angola joined. And then in 2017, Equatorial Guinea and the Congo was the latest member to join in 2018.
What about like the U.S., Russia, and Canada? I mean, all oil producers and oil exporters, too.
Well, the United States is actually probably the largest oil producer in the world right now. The latest statistics showed something like 11.47 million barrels per day were produced in the month, I think, of September or October in the United States. And Canada is also a huge oil producer. Russia as well is also a very big oil producer, very much up there, probably produces around the amount that the United States does. But the United States cannot join OPEC.
And why not?
Well, first of all, that would be against the anti-competitive laws and anti-monopoly laws that we have in the United States, but also because the United States does not centrally regulate oil production. There really is no way for, say, the Energy Secretary of the United States to go into a group and say, okay, we're going to get all of the U.S. producers to cut production or increase production. That's just not the way the U.S. system works.
So with these two kind of oil balances of power, does OPEC still have the lion's share of the power?
Well, that's the big question. And OPEC still has a very significant role to play in the oil market simply because it does control a lot of production and it controls some of the countries that have the biggest spare capacity. If Saudi Arabia wants to at any point in time, it can increase production by more than any other country is able to increase production. The U.S. is producing at its maximum amount right now. Producers aren't necessarily holding back, but Saudi Arabia is holding back on that production, and Kuwait also has some spare capacity, same with the UAE. And so just by virtue of the fact that those countries can just make a decision and open the pumps to produce more gives them power in world markets.
So if the price of oil goes up, Ellen, wouldn't that be good for U.S. oil producers?
Yes, it would be good for U.S. oil producers. It wouldn't be the greatest for U.S. consumers who are loving – see, I don't know what oil prices are where you are, but gasoline prices, you know, in some parts of the country are below $2 already. So consumers are loving these low oil prices, but the producers in Texas would love to see oil prices go up.
So that brings us to Qatar and the news that it's leaving OPEC. I mean, what does that even mean? What's going to be the impact of that?
So it's a very interesting decision by Qatar to decide to leave OPEC. One of the important things to understand about Qatar is that it's actually not that big of an oil producer. In fact, its major energy product is liquefied natural gas. So Qatar only produces about 600,000 barrels per day, maybe as much as 620,000 barrels per day of oil, but it makes most of its money off of natural gas exports. And Qatar has also had a very difficult relationship with its Gulf neighbors of late, particularly Saudi Arabia and the UAE. And it's both a personal matter for the Qatari leadership and also a domestic political matter. It really probably sees no reason to be part of a group that has its positions dictated by Saudi Arabia when Saudi Arabia is making statements outwardly that it would like to basically end Qatar as Qatar exists today. There's an economic embargo on Qatar by Saudi Arabia and the UAE. So it's certainly not an apolitical decision. Leaving OPEC doesn't really hurt Qatar that much because it doesn't produce all that much oil. But it is a jab kind of at Saudi Arabia because if more small oil producers like Qatar leave the group, that will decrease the overall influence of OPEC because right now there are some really big producers. There's Saudi Arabia, there's Iraq, there's the UAE, there's Kuwait, there's also Nigeria is up there. There's also Iran, which could be a bigger producer than it is. But if the rest of them all get up together and leave, the smaller OPEC nations feel they're not being listened to, then that really could decrease OPEC's overall influence in the market.
Ellen Wald, a senior fellow at the Atlantic Council's Global Energy Center. Good to have you on the program. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.